Hello, everybody, and welcome to the spookiest episode of the year of Spook by Your Band. I am, of course, Tom Takar, and I am joined. I should give myself my nickname, as we know, the Werewolf of Dog Street. I was once the Wolf of Dog Street for some reason. I am joined by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara.
Or for this episode, Tommy Some Devil McNamara. Because that was the name of Dave Matthews' solo album.
Some Devil McNascara.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
And we are, of course, joined by Patrick Monahan today.
Patrick Monahan, please.
Ooh, that's great.
Monahan.
Bony hand.
That's not really a scary thing.
Bony hand? Have you ever shooken one? Shaken one?
That's a common affliction.
Reminds me of my ex-wife. Just kidding. She's very fat. She's overweight.
Old for edit.
Patty, thanks so much
that's
for coming.
That's not the kind of show
here.
We do.
Hey, guys. I was just thinking, what we should just do is, can we just scrap the Dave Matthews thing and just do Bobby Boris Pickett as my band that I want to defend?
Yes, the singer of the Monster Mash.
That would be great.
He's got about 10 other songs that are all trying to approximate the Monster Mash, and they're just sort of like, this is me and my mummy, and this one's like called The Monster Swim.
Yeah, there's one where at the pool. Yeah,
there's one straight up called The Werewolf Watusi, which I think is the funniest shit ever. You know, he went to somebody and was like, all right, here it is. Okay, I know you know me from the Monster Mash. You know I'm going to stay in the same area, but I think I got a little more mileage out of this. Werewolf Watusi. You're like, wow, real great, Bobby. That's cool, man.
My friend Connor Sullivan out in L.A. just wrote a screenplay about Bobby Boris Pickett because apparently it's a very sad life.
Dude, somebody was telling me, Branson Reese, do you guys know him?
He
was telling me on Twitter, he said that there's video of Bobby Boris Pickett or he was just like, well, Elvis once told me this is the dumbest song he'd ever heard. Well, I'm still alive, Elvis. That was like his big slam.
That's so funny.
Is that I lived longer than
that
you?
That is the worst argument of all time.
And then apparently he died 6 months later.
That's so good.
It's like a Homer. It's like a Homer Simpson thing, though. It's like, oh yeah, if this is dumb, how come you're dead? It's like those are not related things.
Kurt Cobain told me I'd never make it as a musician, but here we go.
Well, it's not my head that got blown off by Dave Grohl and Courtney Love working in concert.
Whoa, Dave Grohl was part of it. You think?
I don't know, I'm just
more like Dave Grohl. Is that scary?
Kind of.
Yeah, Gruel sounds scary.
I think we should get right into my favorite. The only thing I think of when I think of Dave Matthews, being from Chicago.
Yes.
We're talking about Dave Matthews Band today, and the iconic Dave Matthews story.
Yes.
If you're a Chicagoan, is that the
And if
bus.
You're someone who hates Dave Matthews, this is a big thing,
it's
too.
It's the go-to story.
Even if you like Dave Matthews, it's a good story.
Their tour bus, they were going through Chicago, and they dumped 800 pounds of toilet waste onto the Chicago River.
And I heard that's what Tommy did to the crowd tonight at his show.
I was waiting for the end.
And not only that would be horrible enough, but it also landed on a boat tour.
Which I think is good.
No, those boat tours are fun. What are you talking about?
I think those people deserve to die. Did they die?
I think that would be a bigger story if they died.
They killed or they sank a boat. With turds. That's pretty...
The story is people, like, their clothes got ruined, and some people threw up and got sick because they were covered in Dave Matthews.
Yeah, it's like, I'm covered from my little feet to my little hands. Little feet, little hands.
Somebody was able to sell a little bit of that shit, though. You know what I mean? Like on eBay or whatever.
Somebody was like, prove us is Dave's.
But then, it was, hey, by the way, that reminds me, I'm going to be selling some of Dave Matthews shit. I don't know why it's in a pair of panties, but I'll be selling it on eBay later.
But they so they ended up settling. The tour bus driver ended up getting like a big fine, a bunch of money, probation, and then they donated like $500,000 to the Chicago River to start the healing process.
Donate to those people on that boat.
For real. It is funny that like you're like, all I got to do is take 800 pounds.
Yep.
Is that all I gotta do is get rained on by 800 pounds of shit, and that's worth 500 G's.
Well, my favorite thing was
I'd take that
as
deal.
As long as it's not all at once, like as long as it doesn't kill me.
I know a lot of cam girls who would take that deal.
Oh, God. So in the story, it says that the people were given refunds, which I think is so covered.
They're like, we got this for free because we have a library card.
It's like, this was free. Okay.
All right. To make it fair, you guys can shit on us.
But that was always why, when I was growing up and my friends would go to Dave Matthews concerts, they always played at Alpine Valley in Wisconsin because it's like they weren't allowed in Chicago because of that incident.
Because of that, really?
Yeah. Is that true that they weren't allowed?
I don't think
that?
They were like,
I don't think that's right.
I don't think like the mayor, that was
some,
like
the mayor
high school
actually
rumor.
Said, you're finished in this town.
Yep, yeah.
It's one of the few times that's actually true when someone has threatened.
And you know Chicago law. If you say that, it is illegally binding.
That's right.
No matter who
holding,
says it.
He was holding a Tommy gun. I assume that's just how business is still done in Chicago.
Yes, 100%.
You know, at a high level.
Yeah,
it's tough to be. You don't want to be the punchline of a story like that. You just like you bury that information. You just don't.
If
let
you were on
know
the
you're,
boat,
yeah, it's like, nope,
yeah.
Not fun. Not funny enough to be worth it.
Oh, have we read stories from those people at all? As I feel like that was just one of those stories.
Would you agree
that,
to be interviewed? I don't think I would by name.
I'm going
to
Google really
well, they do those articles where they're like, you won't believe what the people from the shit boat look like now. They're clean.
They were sexy before. Yeah.
Like at least like the Kings of Leon, you know the story about them where they get like the seagulls.
So.
Like they had to like cancel a concert because there were so many seagulls that were shitting on them.
I think we did talk about
and, like,
that
getting
in
their
episode.
Mouth and eyes and stuff. And yes, they had to like stop. So they're trying to get through like Sex on Fire and they're like, nope, we got to. Or use somebody or whatever.
Well, that's fun when it's the band.
Yeah, at least they're like millionaires. Yeah, like, yeah, it's funny, you know. But if you're just some random schmuck and like a fan with like a fanny pack on, and it's like, oh, now I'm well, my vacation is ruined.
Yeah.
Were you a big, big Dave concert goer in your youth?
I wasn't. They got big when I was probably about 12 or 13, maybe. Mm-hmm. I want to say 95, 96. So, I wasn't old enough then to go to any of this stuff. And then it was kind of like a cultural thing. I grew up in Connecticut, so it was like ground zero.
Oh, boy.
And, Fairfield County, Connecticut. You know it. I wasn't cool enough to go or to want to go to concerts, really. Like, I didn't really go to a lot of concerts until like I went to college.
Well, Dave especially was the popular kid.
Was, like,
concert,
the thing.
For sure.
Yeah. And like, I've gone since. Like, I went like after when I was like in law school. I went when I was like. Maybe like 2008,
so
maybe 2007, but it was. Well, we didn't like do like the high school shit, you know what I mean? But it was fun. Like, you know, I draw a line between like jam band you have to be on drugs to enjoy,
yes,
and Dave, which is like just about the outer bound of like, okay, this song is like 11 minutes long. It's not like 20 minutes long,
yes, for sure.
Yeah,
and, like,
they're
jamming, but there's still melody. It's
though.
Not just like a guy playing the drums,
that's
you know,
fair.
For like 4 minutes or whatever. So that's kind of my. There's a couple of bands
your
like
threshold,
that I kind of, you know, like because I can't say I disavow all that kind of music because I don't, but like I don't want to go see, I don't know, Widespread Panic or something. You know what I mean? One of those like sort of less like or like Grateful Dead. Like I have no interest in that. Not
yes.
that they're exactly the same, but like the kind of like jammy, like zone out
I'm
or
the
Fish.
Same way.
I mean, forget it. No pass.
did you ever go to see Dave? Like
no, I have a bunch of friends who did, and I at some point in this episode, I have some stories to read from friends.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I went to see him. I went to a Dave Matthews weekend. I think we should. Yeah, I think I should preface all my opinions with this.
You stayed for a while.
stay
for a while.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I'm just gonna pepper these in.
I know. I love it.
I
do love it.
My dominance.
We should have made this our. Fuck! I was either gonna say 41 or 42. It's 41,
yeah.
Right? I actually love that song. The thing is, I should say up top, I really like a lot of Dave Matthews Band music. I think he's a good guy. I really like him.
Seems like his head screwed on.
He seems like
right
a
way.
Good man to me.
He's off the heroin, it would seem, based on how he looks. You know, because it was always kind of is he skinny Dave or fat Dave?
He started in Charlottesville, and you had a fun weekend there last year, right?
That is correct.
Got into a couple scuffles. Some of these punks. To me, it's like a good memory for me because it takes me back to like, you know, like I wasn't like a cool guy in high school, but I enjoyed growing up where I grew up, you know? So like, it's hard for me not to be like, oh, this is kind of, you know, like it's, you know, like I get in like that mode. Like sometimes when I'm on Metro North when I'm going back to Connecticut for the weekend or whatever,
yeah,
I'll like listen to like the high school stuff to kind of get like revved up for that.
Sure. He would come to like a big, there was like a big park that he would come to in Indiana. Uh-huh. And that's where I saw him for the weekend. I want to say Noblesville, Indiana, where you could just go camp out for a weekend. And it was like a weird experience. And I had a buddy who's a comedian named Josh Cox, who has begged us to do this episode many a time, and I've told
well,
him
he did
he's
on
not
the live
famous
show,
enough.
Right?
He did on the live show, which we lost, unfortunately, but we're going to do plenty more. Speaking of which, we should plug it early. We're doing a live episode of this show
November 6th
at 10 p.m. at Union Hall. We have incredible comedians, Josh Gondelman, Joe Zimmerman, who else? We have Sean Patton.
Joe Firestone will be our guest judge.
Firestone is a guest judge.
Who I love so much.
It's going to be a battle of the bands. We've got bands like Coldplay and
Hootie, Spin Doctors.
There's going to be
fun
ones.
Spice Girls, Bieber. It's going
to
be really fun.
Yeah.
So come to that.
We would love to see you there. Tickets are cheap as hell right now. They're $7 online if you get them in advance, $10 day of. It is going to be fun as fuck.
Yes, guaranteed.
I can't wait for it. But anyways, come out to that. But yeah. Our buddy Josh Cox dragged me to a Dave Matthews Band weekend, and I like Dave Matthews.
Yeah,
I don't hate him, but I've
there like, are not many things that I like enough to do a weekend.
Oh, weekend is a big commitment.
Yeah,
I think that's why I never saw Dave. It's like it always seemed like it was something like that. Like there was a camping element, and I hate camping.
Yeah,
yeah, and I just hate.
Seems like, what have you done a weekend of entertainment?
Yeah.
Like, what if A Star Is Born was like, do you want to see A Star Is Born weekend? No,
you're so fucking ugly. I cannot do it.
I'm trying to think of like what movie I love that I'd still be like, I don't need a whole weekend, like Toy Story or like just a Woody weekend. I guess that people do Disney World weekends, but even that, I'm like 6 hours is enough.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need more than
that. Yeah, I feel like Disney would be fun to go to as an adult, just like, because, like, oh, this is, I would be, like, impressed by how it's run more than anything, I think, is, like, it's not really, like, a fun thing anymore. They got rid of Alien Encounter, which it's a whole thing for me. I'm pissed off. Now it's a Lilo and Stitch ride. Not nearly as scary, you know, anyway.
Damn.
I got a whole Disney thing now. no, it's true, yeah. The place that they used to do it in Connecticut, it's still there. It's called the Meadows in Hartford, and it was, like, a outdoor amphitheater. And so people would like sit on the kind of like a hill, and then there was like another tier of tickets that was like had seats under like a band shell type thing, and that was like the standard sort of Dave show in high school.
Did you have any did you have any encounters with anyone there? Like, did you ever? Because it seemed like kind of a hookup-y place too. Like, it seemed like a lot of shit was going on there. It seemed like there was a lot of like hot people there, and I felt weird being there when I was there.
Yeah, well,
it's hot young people there.
Yeah,
and I was young too, but I was like, I probably still shouldn't be here.
I mean, it's weird because it's like the music festival as a thing has been like co-opted, where it was like a counterculture, like not cool people thing,
yeah,
or like not like superficially cool, and now it's like the total opposite of that. Now it's like those people cosplaying as like hippies or whatever, depending on where you go or what thing you go to.
That's
so
like Lollapalooza used to be, I thought, very cool, and now it's like 100% EDM, and it's like,
yeah, I went
like
this year. It was fun, but there was definitely music where I was like, I don't need to hear any. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Or like, my buddy dragged me to like Playboi Carti at the end, and that's like he's like a hip hop guy, I guess, that's dating Iggy Azalea. That's all I know about this stuff. And it was just like he was like doing the gunshot noise constantly.
And
just yelling, like, and so, and it's like, this guy has like total contempt for this audience, it feels like, or he just knows he's playing like this part where it's like, this is scary, I like this, you know, type thing.
I was trying to find it. Someone on my Facebook post said that they saw two people having sex like next to them at the first Dave Matthews show they went to.
Really?
Yeah.
I definitely was like, people are hooking up here. I had a bad experience where like I think somebody was trying to hook up with me at one, like a person I knew was at one, and I didn't know they were there, and they ran into me in the fields or whatever. You know, there's just like fields there. That was also one of my first edible experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to do edibles. That'll be the fun thing for me here. And then I was just like, this is, I was just like high, body high, and I was like listening to me. Here's the thing. I actually had a pretty good time.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people there, I was like, I'd feel weird being here. You know,
it's a very funny thing to have if you were having a bad time at.
Yeah.
Like, if you get dumped at, like, the beginning of a Dave show and stay at the Dave show.
stay. Like,
that's just, like, I'm thinking about, like all this, like, goofy, like, and you're just like, all right, well.
You're like, this is bullshit.
Grease is gone.
My grease is gone. I'm still here listening to shit. I was reading a Medium article, you know, where people go to write coherent and good arguments.
Yes.
Medium.com.
That's right.
But I was reading an argument from somebody who was shitting on Dave Matthews, and it was somebody who was like, yeah, I used to love Dave. And it was supposed to, like, come from this snobby perspective, where it was like, I thought that he was great. I listened to him in my little tweeny, like, semi-sexual thing. It's like just enough to get like tweens turned on, which is why you hear Dave Matthews played in Tommy's bedroom all the time. But like, it was like, this is perfect for me then. And then I grew out of it because I listened to it for 10 years religiously. And then I was at a Dave Matthews band weekend. And then after that, and I loved it. And then my boyfriend broke up with me. And now I hate them. And it's like, yeah, it sounds like mostly you were mad because you're
breakup.
Not very
good analysis.
Yeah.
It seems like you would have stayed right on that train.
It's the first thing that comes up when you Google Dave Matthews Band Sucks, and it was like this long-ass Medium article for no reason. But it felt very much like the reason a lot of people hate Dave Matthews is because it's cool to hate Dave Matthews.
Yeah, it's kind of it is kind of like a Nickelback-y type. Like, to me, it's a little hacky.
And like, so much more unfair.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think, like, Nickelback, look, if you love Nickelback,
they're good
come on the show.
Good at making, they're good at making records that sell a lot of records. I mean,
yeah,
like,
but
you know.
They don't even sell that many records
Not
now.
Not anymore, yeah.
But, like, Dave Matthews has been prolific, kind of, and, like, been touring for a long time with similar success for a lot of the time. And, I, like, even Josh Cox wrote on the Facebook, we'll get to the Facebook eventually, but, like, even people were like, I didn't listen to the new thing, but people still click with that shit. Were you ever in like the hardcore phase? I feel like almost everybody I know has gone through a phase of like, I love this a little bit.
I would say like freshman year of college, there was a lot of guys in my hall who were really into it. And I kind of got into them like into the, into songs like 41 and that kind of stuff where it's like, oh, this is actually good. I kind of had that phase. I never saw him or anything, but I definitely had moments for sure.
I mean, the library is just so big that it's so hard not to click with any of it at all, ever. You know?
Yeah, I mean, those first three albums are like, the first three like main studio albums, you know, are like, I don't know. I think that like, there's probably some single that you would find that you don't hate, unless you just hate that kind of, I don't know, I don't even know what to call that kind of music, but like, they're not all the same jammy kind of, you know what I mean? Like, not every song is two-step or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're all different.
I definitely hate, there are songs that I hate.
What do you hate?
Too Much, I hate.
Interesting, okay.
Not a Trippin' Billy's fan.
I was like on the fence about Dave Matthews for a while, and then I got really into him a little bit. My sister was really into him, and then that kind of got me into him, like my older sister.
Yeah.
And then Josh Cox actually got me a little more in because he would show me deep cuts.
You were radicalized. That's how you
were radicalized. He's
Antifa. I've never been... I was never hardcore, but I was like, I do appreciate this. When Josh Cox showed me the song about his sister being murdered, you know what I'm talking
which
about?
Which is a crazy story.
The murder story about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a song called I Did It.
Guilty as charged.
Do you think do you think I've gone too far?
That's one of the songs I hate, too. Yeah.
Yeah, those are kind of, I mean, no, So Much to Say is kind of along those lines. That those are not my favorite.
It's a song called Shotgun. It's very good. It's about his sister getting, you know, murdered, suicided. Or it's a terrible story, but like that song is so big. And Cox kind of sold it to me as like, hey, he plays this song so rarely, and then you'll hear him start into it and then start something else. And it almost felt to me, it was like that, I like that rare quality in music where it's like, oh shit, that's like a holographic Charizard of music.
Yeah,
which is a good
way
to talk about someone's song about their sister dying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like Pokemon.
Doesn't play this one because it's too painful. Bad memories. Yeah, there are a lot of bands that do that where it's like, oh man, they never play this song. We're so lucky, man. This is sick.
And that's how I feel like a lot of Dave fans go to shows. They're like, oh my God, he played that one song.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's like a lighter version of the fish thing, which is like an insane psychosis that I will never understand.
Yeah.
Going to like four shows in a row and like critiquing every little, you know, and it's just like, I don't care enough of this much about anything. Like, I don't care about anything this much. It doesn't matter to me. You know, like, I like when the fish cover of Sabotage from Hampton Comes Alive. That's fine. Ooh, I like bouncing around the room.
Yeah.
I like Farmhouse, which is like an attack on fish fans.
It's the only one I could play on guitar.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But no, it's just, same thing with like, yeah, I mean, Dave is generally, like, there's not a lot of stuff that's like shocking that you would hear, but that is like the one that I remember being like, you're never going to hear this live, probably, unless you go to like a shitload of shows.
Yeah. I like that element of it. I really like the collector edition sort of idea.
Well, you get to feel like you're lucky when you leave the show.
Yeah.
Like the first Mountain Goat show I went to, they ended with Denton, and they don't always play Denton, I guess. I mean, maybe they play it more now, but like, I was thank God.
Hail Satan.
Because that was like, that's like pure joy at the end of a, and then you all just go back out into the night, and that's the end of it. But
yeah. It used to be like going to a Cubs game and seeing them win. Am I right, people?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I found that comment I wanted to read, which is Steve Winchell, who's great, said, I saw them in 2007 in Hartford.
I might have been at one of those, if not that show.
I was sitting on the lawn, and the couple next to me were having kind of discreet sex during
the
show.
Was me. No, it was not me.
After the concert, I realized my car was towed.
That's a perfect Dave Matthews. I had a Dave Matthews experience. Like I said, so I started this story a little bit ago, but I ran into somebody I knew from like college or something, and there was like, she was like, come over to our tents or whatever. And then I went over and I just like had a couple beers in their drunken ass weird hacky sack circle or whatever. And then on my walk back, I'm like lit up. It's one of the first times I've ever been high. Like I like ate an edible or whatever. I'm walking back and there's this campsite where they're like just these guys. Everybody's just interactive and you're used to it. This guy yells at me. He goes, you got on two shoes.
Oh, yeah. I heard this story.
And I was like, yeah, I was just like happy or whatever. And he goes, most people got one shoe. And I was like, all right. And then he goes, you're gay for having two shoes on. And I was like, this has been a perfect Dave Matthews experience of like, you're kind of an asshole, but also you were being, for a second, I thought this was a community. Like,
right. Oh, right. You're going to be in a frat later.
Or you are now. But yeah, it was brutal.
So let me do this now to get through their drunken vibe. I knew I had some friends who had been arrested at Dave Matthews concerts. So I reached out to them and I'm going to tell these stories without giving names, but I'm going to read some text verbatim. Okay. So I texted my friend and I said, you got arrested at Dave once, right? And he said, I sure did. And I said, well, you tell me the story. And he said, took a limo up to Alpine with some buddies. We were drinking vodka from water bottles. When we got there, I was walking through the tailgate with one of them when a couple of golf carts filled with cops pulled up. I don't remember why, but while they were talking to us, one of the cops yelled, this one's getting squirrely on us, about my friend. He said, next thing I know, I'm face down in the mud being manhandled by three cops. They strapped me into the golf cart like Hannibal Lecter. They bring my friend and I back to concert jail, which is some fences connected to a Winnebago. They started questioning us, asked how many drinks he had. He said he hadn't had that many, and then he blew a .30.
which is
that's pretty high.
I was being aggressive towards my other cellmates and the concert cop, so they handcuffed my arms and legs to a picnic table for the duration of the concert. My mom had to drive 2 hours to pick me up, and then the last sentence is, I still had my braces. So a kid with braces, literally handcuffed arms and legs to a table. That's the Dave Matthews experience.
That's
a perfect Dave Matthews experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one more.
There's another friend. This is my friend telling a story about his fiance. Dave played in like 2006 on a weeknight, and she got so drunk her parents had to come and take her out of the show via wheelchair because she was puking and couldn't walk. Which I think is, it's all. And then
there's nobody that can help you other than your parents in that situation.
A lot of times it seems like parents had to come to these shows. Yeah. And just a lot of beer bongs in underwear for hours. And then one more friend said, I walked around the tailgate lot of the Dave show 1 year chugging SoCo until I passed out in my own vomit. Woke up 2 hours later in my car because the horn was going off. My head was passed out with my head and my head was honking the horn. I also proceeded to shit my pants because our other friend bet me that I couldn't eat 20 single McDonald's cheeseburgers before the show. So these are the people I associate with.
Yeah, this is more of a stand by Tommy's friends.
I mean, how, like, you're setting yourself up for something to go wrong. There's no, like, hey, we're going to go in this place where there's a crowd, not a lot of easy access to bathrooms. Let's just eat a bunch of burgers.
Yeah, that
right
could
before.
Be your review of any, whatever you experienced that night. That's the headline. You know, it's not, you could be like, "Yeah, I went to go see Mozart tonight. Tonight, I ate 20 hamburgers before. Yeah, Mozart came back to life out of the grave. I gave it a D plus because I ate 20 hamburgers.
Everyone
before.
Kept giving me dirty looks because I had shit in my pants and refused to leave. That was not a. I'm not missing this. You
people say
me?
Tape fans are friendly, but
yeah. I have a friend who got arrested in college at a similar thing way out in Virginia, like the end of the line on the metro in DC. And he was at another daytime concert thing, and he was wasted, and he got just kind of like cordoned off by the police and had to go. And he, I guess, was like feisty, and it was very not in character, like crazy story.
Yeah,
like, we didn't believe it. And then he got put in like the local jail. He woke up. He came to consciousness. Like he woke up. He was strapped to like similar things. Strapped to like a chair in the jail, and they showed him his jacket. You know, like he has a jacket.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He got expunged and all that, so it doesn't matter. But like, and he's got his hair in his face, and he's flipping off the fucking camera in the mugshot
for his mugshot.
And
that's
it's
amazing.
Like this is like a dude who's like a sophomore in college or whatever, and like that's just like. Obviously, if you're looking to get a job, you know, it's like, oh my God, I can't. So, but like now, it's like, all right, like, I, you know, I'm successful. I'm doing fine in life. How do I get my hands on this fucking mugshot?
Oh, yeah, you need
it's like
it.
The greatest thing ever. So that's the real punishment is that he couldn't find it. So
we should listen to Jared's voicemail before we get too deep into this bad boy. We're already deep into it. This is Jared Thompson from the Comedy Attic, a dear friend and foe of the podcast. He has some thoughts on Dave Matthews, and we're going to hear him right now.
What's up, y'all? It's This Week's Thing Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Dave Matthews Band. I know some of the time on this podcast I have to do research about a band or an artist who I'm not familiar with, but we all already have our fully formed opinion of Dave Matthews Band. My sister listened to them kind of before, like, you know, we lived in North Carolina, and they're from Virginia, so we were right near where they were, and so they kind of leaked out where I lived sort of before the storm that came. I think that my biggest thought here is, yes, they're not good. I mean, I don't think that really anyone who has like a super sophisticated palate is going to listen to Dave Matthews Band. Like, you're not sort of popping in between great artists and then throwing on Dave Matthews Band. I think it's pretty much for people who just never really dug very deep in music. Having said that, I do think that because the fans are so terrible, they kind of get wrongly lumped in with like other terrible bands that maybe they don't. I don't wouldn't say it's quite Coldplay where they don't deserve the vitriol that we give them. They definitely shouldn't be considered good, but I don't think that they're as bad as some people make them out to be. It's the fans that kind of fuck everything up, which is kind of also true with like Fish and maybe a few other bands. You know, I don't really think there's anything wrong with liking Dave Matthews Band. I would say that people who obsess about them, who think that they're like the only band, are really the problem. Like, it's sort of like an Alabama or LSU or Ohio State fan in football where, like, they just don't even realize that there's, like, other teams. They just only really care about their one team. And I think Dave Matthews Band fans kind of fit in that category from time to time, which is – and I'm sure no one else mentioned this, but they also shit in the river, which I know probably was going to freak out on someone. He's not going to do shit to me, so I don't give a fuck. I'm going to talk about the river shit. So, all right, goodbye.
That was Jared Thompson from the beautiful Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, as we've established before.
What do you think? Well, one thing about the distinction I think between something like a Fish and something like a Dave is like First of all, everybody involved in both bands is good at playing their instruments, right? I think we can say that. Yes. Like it's not a question of like talent or like, you know, skill at the actual like performance of music. I do think that Dave, they're able to construct a song that appeals to people in a way that like it's not just like a weird like recital the way that a lot of jam bands are, where it's like, we get it, you're good at your instrument, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of, like there's like a hook and it's like fun to listen to, and I feel like that's like the difference for me. That's kind of where the, you know, I don't know where, if there's like a distinct line, but like, yeah, I mean, people that obsess with fish, that's fine. I just don't, I'm missing that part of the brain or whatever, or they haven't, or they're missing a part of their brain, whatever you want to look at. It's like, I just can't relate. It's like talking to an alien. You know what I mean? I love this. You know, I go every, you know, and it's just not, I mean, that's why I loved, what's it called? Analyze Fish. I thought it was like the greatest thing ever, because it's like, I don't understand. And it's like, they never reach any kind of understanding, you know?
Harris Whittle's famously murdered by Dave Grohl and Courtney Love.
That's right.
True.
Yep.
The thing is, like, if we struggle to have that type of band on the show sometimes, the jam, pure jam bands.
Yeah.
That's why I like Dave Matthews, though, is that I don't think it's only the live experience that's good.
Right, right.
You don't just need that. I think the studio stuff, I like a lot of the studio stuff that Dave Matthews has done.
Yeah, and I would say, like, if you compare them to, like, a like an OAR, for example.
And I constantly do.
Yeah. like OAR, like the live album.
Opie and Anthony Revolution.
That's right.
That's where you just have to say racist stuff into a mic at the same rhythm that they do.
While having sex in the front pew of a church and saying the mayor has been assassinated or what, all those things together. But like OAR is like at least the early stuff is like the live or the like Crazy Game of Poker like studio version is like so like limp and kind of mellow, you know, and then like the live one, it's like, oh, this guy can actually sing. It's just for whatever reason the way they were recording it, it's like they had the mic here and he's singing and it's like really far away for some reason. Maybe it's because they like didn't have any money and they didn't have like a studio set up or something. But that like is a big difference. Dave, it's like there's like good production and stuff. Maybe to the end, like once they started doing like the like once Every Day came out, I feel like was like when it sort of started to take a turn and away from like, you know, that's where I sort of fell off. Like I bought Every Day, and then it was, and then like, no, I don't like Every Day. I like the, there was like the Lily White Sessions, which was like the stuff that didn't come out that later came out as Busted Stuff or
interesting.
That was like a bootleg you could get for a while, because I remember I got him like Kazaa or whatever and probably said it was Billy Joel or whatever.
That classic, was so funny.
Classic
was
way, like, Kazaa. There's no interest, like, in making the right.
It was like, if I had $1 million, Third Eye Blind.
It's like, who are these psychos? Like, I have such a, I'm like not a messy person, but I'm not, like, I have clutter in my apartment, but I am a freak about, like, computer stuff. I want everything to be tagged right. I spent, like, forever with my iTunes library. I remember when I first, set everything up. Got to have all the right genres, none of this extra crap.
I remember.
Disc one of one, disc two.
What a waste of time.
Did you put in the genres?
Yeah.
Dude, that was the one thing
useless.
In mine.
I never used it
that
once,
that was the only
think.
Category in mind that I was like,
I had a genre.
I had already
80.
Gone through and corrected all the bands, because it would do that thing where it would like put in like sticking with Third Eye Blind. Apparently, it would put in Third Eye Blind like as the number three or the letters, and then I had to go through and fix all
fix
of them.
That.
And then Tupac, I'd have to switch like
make
the
a choice.
Two to two.
Yeah,
and then capitals were all a thing, and I did all that. And then I got the song does, and then it was like, genre? Fuck you.
Well, genre, like, it falls apart, because you would do, I would do so many things where, like, alt-rock, that it became meaningless, you know what I mean? It's like, anything that wasn't, like, Metallica was, like, alt-rock.
Yeah, and Tommy's was all power white or white power, and it was like, which one is...
I had a genre that was 80s, which makes no sense, but I feel like the 80s is the only decade where you can just, like, say there's a genre of music that's just 80s music.
What would you say Dave Matthews is if you were filling out your iTunes library and you had...
It was definitely alt-rock.
Alt-rock, yeah, for sure.
There's no other...
As a fan of alternative rock, I don't know if it is.
But I don't know what that even means, though.
At
it's
the time,
nebulous.
It was like soft. It was like it was like modern soft rock.
Yeah,
I mean,
which
I'm fully admitting
alt-rock.
That alt rock was just a catch-all, because I didn't know what else to say.
Alt rock is still a catch-all.
Yeah,
it's been a catch-all for so long. It's like alt comedy. It's like anything when people are like alt. That's like that drawer. It's like your junk drawer or whatever. You know, it's like, I guess batteries and toilet extra coupons go here. Like,
but technically, alternative would be alternative to the mainstream, and Dave is like the most mainstream rock of the 90s.
But
so I don't
but
think
is
it
rock that, like, because it was in a time like, I think it was at the same time as this, a lot of stuff that was much harder.
What's your
it.
Like proto alt? What's your like number one? Like, if you had to like define alt rock in one band?
Poison. No. Yeah, alt rock. Yeah, what would you say in there?
Like Pixies is what I think of as alt rock, but is that indie?
I would call it indie.
I would have said indie or indie rock or something, maybe. Yeah,
alt rock to me feels like that station where it's like stuff like this and
fucking like Lifehouse. I don't know.
But I don't think Dave fits in alt rock. Even pre-life, but what's that?
I'm standing by that. I don't think Dave is alt rock, but
where would you put your genre choice?
I think it was, you just have to say rock.
It just doesn't. But like, I think that that's like it's like a slight. How old are you?
35.
So I'm 30, and Tommy is 17 still, and barely legal. No.
In what state?
No, but like you're a few years younger, right? Like
28. Yeah.
You say, oh, 2 years younger. I still think there's like a little. I remember looking at the alt rock stations and being like, "This is where these things go," including like Third Eye Blind, like those all went into alt rock.
Well, it also
for
immediately became something that had no meaning because, like, there was no
alternative. I think for
to
a
the
long
mainstream.
Time,
second,
rock
becomes...
meant like Aerosmith. And, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
For a long time, it was like grunge, like, all that fit into rock.
Well,
love in an
easy.
Elevator.
Well, grunge is grunge, and that makes it easy.
Yeah, but even then, it was like it had to also, for radio station purposes, for a while, a lot of stuff was categorized weird. I remember alt rock being like, I remember we had DirecTV. It's when we got or whatever it was before then, Prime View or Prime Star. We had some weird ass TV thing. And that was the first time as a kid when we had music stations. And I would put them on in the 900s or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Alt rock would be Dave Matthews. You know, like, I don't know why. It's weird.
It's just a term that, yeah, it has no boundaries.
Put on a weird costume to do its thing. And,
yeah, you have to wear one of those poncho things.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, that's yeah. That yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's an interesting thing because I guess nowadays it would fit into rock because you know us millennials are so soft.
Yes.
No, it feels like soft rock to me though a little bit because it's not like the Dave shit never was like. Angsty, you know, it's never like got any kind of rock element to it, you know.
I would say like the Watchtower cover is about as angsty as it gets,
and that's a cover
because he
too.
Does all the yelling.
Yeah.
Let's
listen to a song before we go to Facebook so that we can get a little taste of what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Oh, what is this? I just got a reminder from Spotify that we need to vote. So, you know, vote. I don't like how every single app is like doing that right now. It's like,
I am voting for Spotify.
Well, the funniest thing about all those tech things, like make sure to vote. It's like, but the subtext is, if you're not, stay home if you're, you know, I mean, if you're happy with the way things are going, it's cool. Don't worry
about that's
it.
The thing. I'm in some like groups where it's like we're messaging people to vote or whatever. It's like, yeah, but. The people you want to vote.
Right. Okay, first question. Are you happy with the way things are? Like, have a good night, sir. You know, make sure to vote on the 7th.
Yeah. Or early? This is, let's listen to a little Ants Marching. I should point out earlier today, I was telling our buddy, former co-host of the show.
I wouldn't give him that.
Yeah, I meant guest co-host for one episode.
Ousted co-host.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He got the job for 1 week and lost it quickly. He was like, oh, you guys are doing Dave Matthews Band? And then I was like, let's start the playlist. It was This is fun.
Yeah, I don't, you know, what's not to, I mean, honestly, I mean, I, people have like a visceral thing, and you can't really argue on any kind of rational level at that point. You know what I mean?
But I think some people just straight up have associated this at this point with like that sucks or whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't actually listen to what it's happening at all.
Well, it's also weird because like it's not like party music.
Yeah.
It's like it would be super corny to go to you know what I mean? Yeah. You just wouldn't hear anything by Dave.
My buddies in Charlottesville really enjoy it, but see, that's how you lean in. according to Song Facts, this song is about people who lead a monotonous life, doing the same things the same way, day after day. They never take risks and are content living this way until they die. Matthews compares these people to ants who perform the same daily tasks over and over.
It's kind of like a serial killer thing to say, a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all like ants. I can destroy. It's like, yeah. Okay, well, all right, man. Maybe,
well, it's all,
you know.
It's Julian McCullough did this as his hate song for
right.
the club, but he kind of pointed out that it is pretty condescending to be like, yeah, all
well,
people
like,
who didn't get very successful in music like me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Lance,
sorry.
Like, it's also like, hey, if there's one thing that Dave Matthews Band fans are probably known for, it's taking big risks and not fitting into the sort of
hey,
cogs of wherever they
I took a big risk. I work at a bank.
Yeah, exactly.
I left City to work at Morgan Stanley, okay? That wasn't easy.
All right, I will say, not that this is an authority.
Yes.
But if you look up, Google and Wikipedia both list it as rock first, jam band second, jazz fusion third.
Ooh.
And alternative rock is the last thing listed after like seven others, including adult contemporary.
Imagine the
adult contemporary is where what I meant by alt. Also, I think they're the same thing.
I sort of refuse to accept that anything I like is adult contemporary except for being ironically, because that really puts me in like, oh, I like department store music now. Like the stuff when I was
young is
now department store music.
Wait.
I guess it is.
Was there any part of you that thought that this wasn't compartment music?
No, not but like it's not music? Like not like just explicitly like adult contemporary is such a like I don't know how to like
a graveyard of music.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I like department store music, but it's just not the like Richard Marx, like whatever. But like I didn't like Richard Marx when I was like, you know what I mean?
I never
thought Richard Marx was cool when I was like 15. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So it's just difficult for me to accept.
Man, I'm from Indiana. When I would hear music in the department store, I was like, now this is what's kicking. Like,
and look, if it was like Steve Winwood, you were right. You know what I mean? That has not changed. Back in the high life again, still good. Finer things, still good.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Let's see. Dave Matthews is the sole composer on this track, but it's one that shows the band off very well, lending itself on the live shows. Matthews refers to this song as their anthem.
Damn. Interesting that he would.
I'm surprised to hear that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to read that.
A lot of.
I can't read. I have a disease where I can read words but not comprehend them as
sure.
I'm saying them.
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of like bands who are successful enough to not be in the point where like, oh yeah, we got the one hit. We know, you know what I mean. Like they usually don't like pick like a here's the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
except for Good Charlotte, of course.
Yeah. Right.
And Blink-182.
What was the Blink-182?
The Anthem Part 2.
Oh.
Yeah. We really need to see that. Yeah.
It's that song where they're like, this is
bomb.
The Anthem Part 2. You heard it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love that. They performed this one on SNL when they appeared on the show for the first time.
That
can
great
you guys guess the host?
Oh, can we get one hint?
Yes. NBC
Simpson.
Sitcom fame.
Okay, so it was probably late 90s, like 98.
Jonathan Silverman.
I'll give you the year. I'll give you the year. 95.
Okay, 95.
Jennifer Aniston.
Ted Danson.
You were closer, Patty.
Is it like, well, it's one of the other friends then.
Gunther. It was Courtney Cox.
Okay, yeah.
Very close. I would have also, Jennifer Aniston.
Mother
guess.
Of
Ted Danson,
Josh
terrible
Cox.
Guest. But wait, what did you say?
Mother of Josh Cox.
What was the music video she was in? Where?
Dancing in the Dark.
That's right.
And also Long December from Counting Crows.
Oh, true.
Who's
well,
the lead singer we met? They weren't necessarily banging. He had a relationship with her and Jennifer Aniston where he like may have just gone down on them. And by the way,
everyone
seems a little shitty to Lisa Kudrow. never thought about that till now.
Well, Adam Duritz
a little felt left out, you know?
Well, he had that interview where he was like, why does everyone hate me? Just because I got with, like, yeah, it's because you got with hot girls, man. That's it. You got it.
Yeah, we met him, and he was also with a hot lady that night.
He was a nice guy, though.
Yeah. He was nice in that he took a picture with us.
Then he took a picture of us. Do they still perform? I guess they probably still perform, right? Counting Crows every once in a while?
They do, yeah.
It's just him, right? I mean, probably.
I think they're together.
Oh, no,
they're
still
group.
Together, yeah.
Yeah. We should go to Facebook now. We had a lot of Facebook feedback today. I mean, we knew this would happen. Again, I think we're going to do more than one of these episodes because there's so much to cover with Dave Matthews. First off, Tommy started off. I want to point out that you started off the feed with the first person to ignore this comment and make a "don't drink the water" / Chicago River poop joke gets an angry react, and then Kyle Ayers wrote "don't drink the water" / Chicago poop,
and I did give it the angry face. I was true to my word. There was like three people I was trying to specifically stop from doing that.
But when you Google like Dave Matthews Band Sucks, so many of the things
like the joke to make, yeah,
are like "don't drink the water." Chicago River's got poop in it or whatever.
Yeah.
That was the lead single off of the Before These Crowded Streets, right? Wasn't "Don't Drink the Water" their first song off that one?
It's about the indigenous people of our land.
And it was just kind of like, all right, new Dave album or new Dave single coming out or whatever on TRL. And it's like, all right, not as fun as the last. Okay, well, see what else is on the album, I guess.
Well, they used to play it before the real world.
Let's see. Bobby Buds makes a decent point here for once. He says, I think they joined the club with Rick and Morty, Fight Club, and the Cubs, where people think they suck just because of their fans.
That's what Jared was saying, too. And I think that is kind of the main takeaway. I that was one of the things I was thinking about a lot today when I was thinking about, because it really is, there's no real other controversies with them other than the Chicago River. Like, there's not, like, evidence of that. No. I mean, there's the Boyd Tinsley thing, but that's not.
Yeah, Dave, but Dave Matthews himself tends to land in good
spots.
Seems
like a pretty
good
guy, yeah.
He was huge in the Obama campaign. I don't remember where he was on the Hillary campaign or whatever, but like, yeah, not
big Sandler guest star.
Wait, which one?
A few of the movies.
Yeah, he was in Mr. Deeds. Oh no, 50 First Dates is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, he's in a couple of random. I think he's in a couple of them, but he's like, he's part of the what is it? The Happy Madison verse, I guess.
Yeah. So that makes total sense, obviously. He fits right in that category where it's like Adam Sandler just had like a kind of a resurgence a little bit because his special, everybody's been raving about
it. Yep.
Did you watch it?
I am one of the people who's been raving about it, yeah.
All right, I need to watch it still. I was saving it for this weekend.
I've heard it
I'm
from like
10
different people.
Weekend.
I'm still having a hard time believing it.
Well, now it's
going to
get
it.
Too hyped up, but yeah. I thought it was
It's
amazing.
Very hyped up for me, but I am still going to enjoy it, I think. I like fun stuff.
If he goes back to like album era Adam Sandler,
that's what it feels like.
That's funny shit.
The thing is, like, Adam Sandler's one of the first comedians I ever saw in my life. Like, Billy Madison is one of the first things I ever saw that was a comedic thing.
Yes.
So, and I remember my grandma was like, hey, we're going to watch this funny movie. And I was like, where the fuck is the cartoon we were going to watch?
Yeah.
You fucking whore. What's up? And then I slapped around a little bit. We had a weird relationship, me and my grandma.
Tough kid.
But she put on Billy Madison. I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. And I grew up loving him. Happy Gilmore. I loved him all the way through, like Mr. Deeds. I loved Big Daddy, but Click was probably the last thing that I really loved. So then when this came back around, I was like, yeah, of course we're all going to love it because it's become that time now again where it's okay to come back around on Adam Sandler.
For sure.
And I had seen people posting when they worked with it, or when they saw him live, not worked with him. They saw him live, they were like, actually, it's really funny. But I'm like, it's funny how we have to be like, that's funny again. I don't know, because we all hated him for so long.
Well, now he's doing adult contemporary comedy for us, yeah.
But anyway, let's read some more Facebook comments here. James Boyd writes, I was the biggest diehard DMB fan in the mid-late 90s, obsessed, dozens of concerts, so much money, haven't listened to them in years. Brett Arnold, first time I saw Humphreys McGee. This is former guest Brett Arnold, who defended Humphreys McGee.
Oh, man. He's a big Humphreys guy.
Yes.
Yes.
Went to a show with him.
There you go.
It was a great time.
First time I saw them was opening for DMB at Alpine in 06. They're a pretty great band with a bad rap because their fans are the worst. Excited to see them for the first time in years this month at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, those tickets are crazy
and
expensive.
They're playing against the Knicks, which I think is
really yeah, the new Harlem Globetrotters. let's see.
Big hit losing Boyd. He's in really good shape.
He's a 3-and-D kind of guy.
Will Carey writes, my impression is that it's not cool to like them, but they are great musicians. In high school, all of the mostly acoustic guitar players I knew loved them, and Crash Into Me was the song to learn to impress people.
Definitely did that.
I had a moment. You did?
Oh, of course, yeah.
That actually surprises me a little bit. Yeah.
Did you Satellite? That's a tougher one,
yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah, I used to play Satellite, yeah.
That's on the playlist, right?
Yeah.
Let's listen to that now.
Dave and
this
Tim.
This is a live version
Dave
of
and
it.
Tim version. Dave and Tim is when you like... Like, Dave is the gateway drug, and then you get into the hard stuff, which is Dave and Tim. It's just the two of them
that
with guitars.
That was my freshman year of college, was like, oh shit, Dave and Tim. These are the greatest.
It's like, who's Tim Reynolds? It's like, he's this weird, squirrely looking guy who is really good at guitar, and I think was also like a heroin addict.
And Tim Reynolds is also my friend from the story where he said, why are you getting squirrely?
Oh, there you go. That's right, yeah.
I've heard of Eric and Tim, but. Dave and Tim?
Yes.
And yeah, it's not said that way normally, but...
South African, so like it's
yeah, and he's also like Cajun at the same
time. Yeah.
He's got such an interesting thing going on.
That was
on.
A big thing. I feel like that was a thing kind of in the 90s, was like weird. Like, because like I was convinced that like Billy Joe Armstrong was like British because of the way he
yeah.
sings in Green.
Sounds
Dan
like
Dookie.
A British name, too. Yeah,
and
yeah, I thought he was British for a long time.
I was also
too.
Really stupid when I was a kid.
Sense.
I was like, Mom, they don't swear on the CD, you can hear it on the radio where it just goes, shh. You know, I didn't understand that like they like, you know, there was it would be like a bleep. Yeah. Because I think that must have been the first song I'd heard where it wasn't like a straight up like a bleep.
Like
it was like the cut of the thing. And she was like, okay, sure, you know.
Yeah.
I was still allowed to buy it. It's fine. The only album I wasn't allowed to buy was Marilyn Manson.
Really?
Guess what, guys? I bought it. Obviously, right? Not allowed to. And then I just had to hide it.
That's another we did an episode about him, too.
Yeah. Tommy, did you ever have to hide an album?
Oh, my parents, they wouldn't let me buy System of a Down steal this album. They said that's against the rules.
They said we're a capitalist family.
I think I told this story, but I did buy a Grand Theft Auto game that I literally didn't have the system for, just because I knew it was like taboo and cool.
That's so funny that you did the
just reading
you
the
did
manual
like, straight up the opposite of what I did, which is that my sister straight up burned Eminem's Marshall Mathers LP for me, and I saw the artwork on it. And also, my mom hated. I showed her Stan.
No, yeah.
Because I was like, this is so tight. And at that point in my life, me and my mom had agreed on everything.
This is the first break.
So I was like, Mom, you're going to think this is
you're
your
no
so
longer
sick.
My son.
And so I showed it to her, and she was like, this is for trash.
Oh, shit.
She was like, this is disgusting.
I hate Eminem and I hate Devin Sawa also.
Oh, my God. That was Devin Sawa. Yep. Holy shit. I never put that together until now.
Like post like our circa Idle Hands,
Hands
Devin
yeah.
Sawa. Yeah. Idle Hands, kind of fun.
I remember
Slackers,
liking it.
Much better,
yep.
Devin
yeah.
Sawa.
Yeah.
I was going to say, about, oh, Stan. Do you guys know Mike Scollins?
Is that someone no. you know?
He's
a Halloween name for Mike Collins.
Yes, that's right. he writes on Seth Meyers, but he's just like a, you know, comedy guy. I remember I went to a karaoke place, and it was like a place where they had like the bar. It's like a weird place in the Lower East Side, and all of a sudden I'm like not paying attention to what's going on. I look over, and he is doing a flawless Stan, and
oh,
the entire
wow.
place is like What is happening?
Like, did he do like both? Did he do Dido too?
Yes, I believe.
Oh, you
so.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah,
that's the best part, probably. And then
I just think it's fucked up. You don't answer fans. Like, he just like got really into it, but it was just like, but like under control, not like having a weird freak out or anything. So it's like that's like one of the best things I've seen. Very good.
Man, I sang. Sorry to, we're so off track right now, but I sang karaoke this past weekend, and I took a big risk on a song that I do a lot. I do Jewel, You Were Meant for Me. It's the first time I've ever done it in front of my girlfriend, but I took a big risk on a note where I went real high, blew it, and I just had to sit in the shame of it for a second. But because I laughed it off, people were like, this guy's cool. But then I nailed it on the last one. It's so hard.
If you want to hear someone hit a high note, listen to this. Damn. I thought I'd get it.
It was a good risk. Tommy reached across the board and was like,
most
hoping
of Satellite
that it
would... is falsetto. I thought I had a good shot.
By the way, some notes on Satellite. Satellite. This is from Alicia 05. I think it's about a girl who's very distant and she has been burned in a relationship once, so she tries to distant herself from others because she doesn't want it happening again. Winter's cold, spring erases, and the calm away by the storm is chasing. I think he's saying here that she should move on and that he can help her. Everything good needs replacing. Look up, look down, all around. Hey, this part also supports NY theory.
Alicia, we know she's not in a relationship with a copy editor.
Got her ass.
He did write Winter's Cold before this global warming crisis.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Famous anti climate change activist. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. This is Dave's twinkle, twinkle little star.
Ugh.
Cool, man. Does that make you like it or something? I'm upset by that. I play it for my son. He's going to be so good at beer pong when he grows up.
I bet that if you do sing Dave into your like wife's stomach, he just like is really good at flip cup.
Comes out wearing a visor. Comes out wearing those flip-flops that have a beer opener in the sole.
I think everything... I honestly do think every single thing should have a beer opener on it. Every part, like, I want to, like, make a robot that still has that in it. Or, like you know how we're going to have chips in ourselves or whatever? I just want to install, like, I don't want plastic surgery for anything to make myself look better. I just want in my elbow.
Did you guys see Upgrade?
No. What is
how
that?
How was it?
It's awesome. It's okay. It's like Venom, but good. It's like a guy gets.
Sorry,
like,
you have to leave. This is a pro podcast.
No, it's this dude Logan Marshall Green who looks like Tom Hardy. Like it's like very weird, and it's about a guy who gets an AI implanted after he gets paralyzed.
Yeah,
and it like talks to him and like takes control of his body and stuff. So it's very weirdly similar to Venom, and they came out around the same time. But part of it is like there are guys that get mods, and they have like a gun in their forearm, and the barrel is like in their hand.
Yeah,
so there's guys like loading their forearm. And so that would you could just be part of the upgrade thing.
That actually sounds get, like, pretty the, tight.
Yeah.
Really quick, my favorite line read of the year. Did you actually see Venom?
Yes.
Michelle Williams saying, "Sorry about Venom," like very sincerely, as if Venom was Tom Hardy's like dog.
Yeah.
The last thing I saw her in was Manchester by the Sea, like the saddest movie ever.
It's like, sure, why not?
Now she's talking Venom.
Talking Venom, that's my new podcast. Yeah. Chris Hardwick's big second big comeback. Obviously, he's already back. It's fine.
Let's see here. John Bilantini says, I loved them until I went to college, and then as an 18-year-old ball punk, I did my best to never mention them again, despite having their entire discography in my CD case. I relate to that really hard, because... When I was in college, I was very into them, Incubus. There was a couple bands at Linkin Park. There was a lot where then I remember when I got, when I started having friends come over and like we were playing music or whatever on my iTunes, they were ripping apart my iTunes and those are the type of bands on there. And I was like, whoa, those are my, you know, those are my sister's music or whatever. Like I just like lied or whatever. But I was like, Yeah, then that's around when you start pretending you're like, yeah, I never liked this, but it's like, it's not fair, it's not true.
Yeah.
I got hard into Radiohead, and I was like, that's like all I like, actually.
Yeah.
That might be the definitive alternative rock band.
I don't know. I think they're more of a regular rock band.
Oh, so you're just going to say disagree with anything I say.
Yeah, no,
okay,
no.
That's cool.
No, I agree. No, that's more... That's definitely. The only reason I said that alt rock thing is because on the station, those stations that I feel like I was listening to them, I agree that they're not alt rock because it's like, what does alt mean? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
it really hits a weird spot.
What you do is when I did what I did in college is when people might make fun of what I liked music wise, I just forced it on them by playing it at parties. So like you get that association of, oh, this is fun. And then we ended up making like an Edward 40 Hands like mix CD. And like Rammstein, Du Hast.
Of course.
Simple Plan, Addicted. It's like stuff that I liked that had no real sort of business being on. And it was just like, yeah. And it's like, guess what? You're going to be hammered by the end of this and you're going to like it. So,
oh, yeah. Well, I would do the same thing when you're designing a power hour where it was like, you'd start out with all the hits, then you start sneaking in your weird shit.
It's like, is this Fields of Gold? What's happening?
Just like sex. You start with those
normal. Last 1 hour.
No, each one lasts 1 minute.
Yeah. But by the 50th or 51st time we have sex, you watch out, buddy.
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 Oh, yeah, you do it to your buddies back then.
Yeah.
We should read Josh Cox's comments here. Also, by the way, JP McDade writes, damn good show live, a Connecticut rite of passage.
It's crazy how many Connecticut people chimed in.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was like a Connecticut thing, to be honest, because I knew so many Midwest people who were hardcore into it.
Yeah, I guess it's just everywhere.
It's like for me, it was like one of those things you get
it's
like
just
a,
wherever white people are.
Yeah, but it's like Connecticut white is like a very particular strain of white where it's like you get issued a few albums when you're like in high school. It's like the Steve Miller Band 74 to 78 greatest hits that like everybody has. And then, like, one of the Daves, and you get, like, the Fire Dancer sticker on your, like, Jeep Cherokee, and that's, like, your deal.
You didn't listen to Steve Miller Band, though, did you?
No.
Yeah. I had to listen to Steve Miller Band as a kid.
Yeah.
Where it was, like, that was one where I was, like, I know that no one else I know is into this.
I mean, for me, it was, like, I definitely got it from someone else. I didn't find it on my own, but it was, like, I remember I wore that. I mean... Like, Abracadabra is, like, corny as hell, but, like, all those songs. Like, Jungle Love is super fun.
Yeah.
I was at, like, a cool place this summer. I was at Surf Lodge in Montauk, and they were just, like, in between, like, because they have bands that play, and they were playing just, like, Jungle Love.
The whitest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Jungle Love.
Surf Lodge in Montauk.
That's right.
Montauk.
I'm actually Colin Jost. This is actually, this is,
the best. Yeah.
I love it. We should read.
He is my favorite writer.
Melody Kamali wrote, agreed re the live shows being a Connecticut rite of passage, and also you legally had to have a quote as every aim away message, and you know what I'm done hiding this. And she has on here, this is her her senior quote. It's been so long, but it seems like it was only yesterday. Ain't it funny how time slips away, Dave Matthews Band?
I had a grave digger. When you dig my grave, can you make it shallow so that I can feel the rain?
Mine was just, I am the proudest monkey that you've ever seen.
Oh, God.
Mine was,
I forgot he had
that. Mine was saxophone solo. I don't think I had a senior quote.
Mine was from Boy in the Bubble, Paul Simon, from Graceland.
It was just those words?
That's it. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the something, something. I don't actually remember the song anymore.
There was a big controversy.
Very meaningful for me, obviously.
At the public school, I went to the Catholic school, but the public school, like in my town, basically, a kid had slipped in a Hitler quote and attributed it to Anonymous, and it got through to the yearbook, and that was...
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty weird, because it's like, I'm Hitler.
What are you going to do? I'm Hitler.
Hitler's like a Pokemon. He just could only say his own name.
Yeah, he was Groot.
Mein Kampf. That's so funny. Oh, shit. Casey James Salengo chimed in of Comedy Central fame, of friendship fame, of the good, the bad, and the ugly fame.
Yes.
He said, this was my first concert, and it was great. I was 17 and didn't drink or do drugs, but I was having so much fun and going so crazy dancing that some drunk old ladies came up and told my friends, be nice to him in the morning. Joke's on them, because they were never nice to me.
Joke's on them.
Oh, great work, buddy. There was one that I was, I definitely wanted to read. There's so many comments here. This is crazy. Hard
polarizing
to pick.
Band.
They, let's see, Mayor Wiles loves them. Seen them several times. Love DMB. All right, we should hear Josh Cox. I'm not nearly the fan I used to be. I haven't even listened to the new album, but I don't know that I'll ever find another band that puts on a live show like they do. Set lists that change night to night. Songs with fluid lyrics. And absolutely incredible drum solos. It's hard to get sick of following a band that is changing their act constantly. So Much to Say was one of the biggest mainstream LGBT hits of the 90s before anyone was speaking to gay issues. Dave brought mainstream attention to cow farts' effect on the environment. And also, I am a douchebag, I guess. This annoyed me that he said. Then, yeah, Josh goes off the rails here a little bit. He then goes on to say, they went to Wrigley Field and sang about the importance of cunnilingus, literally into the center of the fucktard fan base Venn diagram, and advocated for being a generous lover. Josh, you're canceled.
That's a word we don't need to hear on the podcast ever again.
That's the tea, sis.
What's that? Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah, I don't think that the, like, yeah, in the heart of Chicago, I don't think that you're...
What does he mean? Just, like, hike up your skirt? Does he just want to crash into me? What is the...
I know, I think that he literally went... I think he's saying, say, like, I don't know. There's no way.
Fellas, you got to, like, doing his weird,
hike up,
like,
your skirt a little more.
I heard what DJ Khaled said.
He's just, hark up that skirt a little more and give my lunch to me.
Oh, like,
well,
that song, when I bleach when it in got my ears? So sexy, when it got so sexual, it kind of, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Tone it down a little bit, buddy.
And then, he gets, like, weirdly sexy, and he's like, dirty rascal. It's like, a rascal's a weird word
I was
in that
singing
context.
I'm the king of the Catskill.
Catskill?
Catskill.
King of the Catskills.
Is it not Catskills?
It's a Henny Youngman reference, oddly enough.
You're right. Dirty rascal. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Crash into me, please. I did always, it was like, I think it's like a classic misheard. It's not original to me, but I think I did used to always hear it as hike up your skirt, little boy.
Oh, no.
Talk to Catholic motherfucker.
Yeah, talk to a therapist. Hike up my vestments a little more.
The knockoff Sikh treatment is talk to your therapist.
Guys, we're deep into this pod. We should
listen to
some more songs, and then So this next song is all on the Watchtower, and this is a live version you gave us at, I believe, Red Rocks.
Yeah, I picked it because this is the first time I heard this version.
Skip
this is
forward.
Like, this is like their first. I was torn between this and. They do Long Black Veil on Listener Supported, which only came out in 99. But this was like, what is this? This is crazy. You know what I mean? Because it's like 12 minutes long, and it's like the whole... and like I said, at the time, I had not seen the band live, so it was news to me. This is where you get the real screamy shit. Here it comes.
They do a live cover of Cortez the Killer that's like real.
I used to be really into that.
That song is great. And then I was listening to another live version of it, and I'm having trouble remembering who it was. Shit, it's the same. It's a band that sounds a lot like Modest Mouse, and they would hate to hear that I said that if they ever...
They sound like they're being chased around with a hose.
Fuck. I really love this band, and I cannot think of the name of them. They're similar to Modest Mouse Band. But anyway, I realized, oh, anybody who does Cortez the Killer is going to kill it, probably.
The funny thing about Dave when he's live, too, is that, like, because he does all this nonsense kind of scatting, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If he, like, forgets the lyrics, he can just kind of fold it into the scatting. Because there's, like, a live version of that song, Crush, where he, like, it's, like, the big, like, last sort of before, like, the fadeaway. And he's like, it's like, yeah, he doesn't, clearly it fucked up, is not another word, it doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly.
You know what's crazy that I just looked at? Is though, so obviously Bob Dylan wrote the original, but a lot of people know the Jimi Hendrix one is like the main one.
Yeah.
The Jimi Hendrix one came out 6 months after the Bob Dylan one.
That's insane.
Isn't that too soon?
That's way too soon.
It got in there.
Yeah.
It sounds like he just took it.
Right?
Like Bob Dylan like Bob spilled Dylan's a soda on him somewhere.
Bob Dylan's like still working on the song, kind of. That's way too soon.
Right?
That's really funny.
Hendrix just standing there like...
But then again, like, it is funny. People still do that in country, where it's like, they'll just cover a song that's like a non-country song.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, that's also a song, but it's because the writer sometimes is not a musician, or singer, not a performer. Yeah, yeah. But then that's like, Bob Dylan was performing.
Yeah. He must have heard it the first time, but like, fuck.
Yeah. Some of that shit's ice cold. I always think of when I think of like different versions of songs. They originally had Leanne Rimes do How Do I Live Without You.
I like the
Leanne Rimes. And that was going to be on the soundtrack for Con Air. And then they were like, not good enough. So they got Trisha Yearwood to do it instead.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty brutal. Just like, no, you don't really. No, it's not what we want. It's like, all right. Well,
that is fucked up. I didn't know that.
Not good enough for the Nick Cage movie about the plane. The love theme.
How dare you simplify it, sir? You could do that to any movie.
Yeah.
Oh, the movie about the prison, the guys that are like the jail plane. Innocent and they get out of jail, whatever.
Look, I'm a Con Air fan. Okay,
I like Con Air.
Delahanty. Yes,
I just like the hair dryer company, Con Air. Big fan of those guys. They do good work.
Let's hear another song here. So that was live at Red Rocks. This is Crush, which we have spoken about already.
A great bass line. I always love this bass line.
Yeah. Sitting alone in my car, just like pretending I was in like a cool jazz club.
This shit is jazz.
Crazy how it feels tonight. Crazy how you make it all alright, love. Crush me with the things you do on me. Each moment, the more I love you, crush me.
This is it right here. This is the good stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm thinking, just knowing that the world is round.
Take that, Kyrie Irving.
Dude, Dave Matthews talks a lot about the Earth shape. He has a song called Dodo where he talks about, I believe that's the song, where he's like, they used to think the Earth was flat. That wasn't that long ago, whatever. I handled the lyrics. And he hates Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it's like that third chorus in the live where he's like, it's like, yep, there were no words in there. Even for you, that's obvious.
That was the 90s, though, man.
That's true.
That they were all doing it. Yeah.
You didn't need some more. You didn't need words. You had a feeling. And back then, there was less words.
Yeah. And just every record exec, I'm just imagining. Do you guys remember, you've seen Airheads, I assume? No?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Judd Nelson from Airheads, that like shitty record exec guy.
Yeah, oh, it's
hey,
great.
Hey, guys, love
one
it.
Of the
great
first
sound.
DVDs I bought was Airheads. I love that movie.
That's just every exec, every band is pouring out their hearts. He's like, really great stuff, guys. I love it. Just like, all right, well.
By the way.
Please pay us.
This is a song about spending all the hours of the night with a woman, never wanting it to end, and the feelings that come when you fall in love. Feeling like dancing, feeling like telling her everything that's on your mind, feeling like you don't know if you're right side up or upside down, feeling like driving till morning comes. It doesn't have to be a woman. It can be about love for anyone, like hosting a podcast with Tommy Mac.
Is this like a monologue from Delilah? What's going on here?
There are a ton of comments on here. Great song. I think it's the first time that pulled me into the DM. The first song that pulled me into the D&B world, the song was written about Dave's girlfriend at the time, Ashley, which is now his wife and the mother of his children.
Famously Ashley Madison.
Life short.
That'd be so funny to be named Ashley Madison and married. What? I'm not cheating on you. I just, this is my website. I'm just flirty.
Will Miles, past guest, has a great Ashley Madison story.
Oh, yeah.
He had an account, and that guy... When
he had an account on Ashley Madison?
Yeah, but he was like a single dude, and when they all got leaked, some guy tried to blackmail him for like $10,000. He's like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just a guy. Like,
all right. That's fucked up that Will had an account on Ashley. Because that's like, you're like the guy who's like, yeah, cheat on your husband with me.
Well, no, I mean, look, I mean, if you're,
or I'm going to, yeah, that's fucked up.
If this is from, I forget where I read this. This is like a, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But if you're single and the girl's single, you got to be cooler than every other guy. But if you're single and the girl's with somebody, you got to be cooler than one guy.
That's all it takes. All right, I got to give a shout out to Maya from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She wrote, "I may very well be a big smooshy sap of a woman, but if a man ever said to me, 'Lovely lady, let me drink you, please,' and meant it, I would melt in a puddle of myself all over the floor.
Well, then he could drink you.
Dave sure knows. Dave sure knows how to write a song for a woman. I actually love
that song and fucking hate that lyric. So it's interesting how that
works. I have
a theory
that Dave wrote that. let's see. The acoustic version with Sir Tim Reynolds and Dave Matthews is definitely better than with the full band.
Say Sir Tim? Did he get knighted?
It says Sir Tim. That's very weird.
Yeah. I think he's just like a guy from New England somewhere or Virginia.
Maybe they
or something.
Think New England is England. Sir Tom Brady.
I mean, he must be by now, right? Yeah.
Oh, good song. Let's hear some more. We haven't listened to Two Step yet.
No.
Right? All right, let's listen to some
Two Step. Is my big example of the Dave live track, because just like this can just go, this part here can just go on for like 5 minutes. And like every Dave story is like, oh man, it was sick. It was like, started pouring rain, and then they just came out and did an encore, and it was Two Step, and it was like 17 minutes long. It was fucking sick. And this, by the way, this is the either yearbook or his AIM profile. Celebrate We Will.
Oh, yes.
For life is short but sweet for certain.
Yes.
I celebrate We Will.
You guys remember that as a thing? AIM profiles?
Oh,
that was a lot of pressure. They have good stuff in there.
And the AIM profiles?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Melody Kamali thing I was reading. That was your AIM profile.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, that was like you had to like keep up like a sort of like a, I don't know, that was weird. It was like the first network in that sense, I guess.
So when searching for this, it says for Reddit. Reddit popped up and it said Dave Matthews Band alternative rock music on Reddit.
Well, Reddit's never been wrong about anything.
Yeah.
First time Reddit has ever had a questionable take.
I also think anything alternative is the broadest term of all time.
Except for I can't believe it's not butter. Butter Alternative. Just leaning into a sponsorship.
You turn the music up.
I did it without realizing that was a burn at first.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just like with all your boys, like just arms on each other's shoulders, getting ready for this part.
Wait.
Oh, it is.
Why? Because life is short but sweet for certain. Oh.
What's that?
That's a big Dave move. The minor chords in the verse, major chords in the chorus is a big Dave classic move.
Okay. Juice, yeah, says, I've been listening to DMB for 2 weeks, and I understand I understand what he is saying more than you lifelong fans. Between this and Ants Marching, everyone is missing the most important part of the message. First of all, it's we climb on 2x2.
Tower 7.
First of all, it's we climb on 2x2, as in a reference to Noah's Ark, to symbolize everyone pairing up to continue the population. To me, this song is saying we cannot live forever, and all we can do is continue the population so we let other future generations experience this amazing adventure. It's a beautiful way to look at life and death, and it single-handedly made me accept death as only fair.
In 2 weeks!
Listening to 2 weeks of death.
This is an 85-year-old man.
I know. I've lived a full life. It's like, this is the only thing.
Listen up, assholes. I've listened to this for 2 weeks, and I figured out the song that says, celebrate we will, for life is short but sweet for certain, is about how life is not long, and we should celebrate, okay? Listen up, assholes.
Look, I saw JFK get murdered. I saw NASA go to space. Listening to 2 weeks of Dave Matthews.
During my time in Vietnam, nothing mattered.
I accept death. Yes, I lost my wife to polio.
My other wife to Ashley Madison.
Just
a woman, not
Ashley
the website.
We should start an Ashley Madison podcast.
Hell yeah.
One of your stories about people who have left theirs for Ashley Madison, or who have been left for Ashley Madison accounts.
Everyone under a pseudonym, because people will get murdered over things like that. Yes. It's like, oh, right. People get mad about that stuff. Damn. The whole, like that episode of Cheaters where the guy got stabbed. Classic.
Dude, I used to watch Cheaters all the time. That one I
like, thought you said Cheers. I was like, that's a dark Cheers episode.
Yeah, Norm's like,
that was the last episode. You remember Sam bleeding out at the bar? That's how it ended?
By the way, I'm fucking Rhea Perlman.
The first fuck on TV.
And where they named the actress instead of the character.
He's like, hey, my wife's dead. I killed her. She's been dead for months. I hate her. It's like, oh, cool, man.
Guys, we have one last song to listen to tonight.
For podcast is short, but sweet for certain.
This podcast taught me that all things must come to an end, including our sweet, short lives. We must listen to Crash Into Me.
Those lives. So I picked this because it has the key part at the end.
So I'll skip towards the end.
The, I will be your Dixie chicken if you be my Tennessee lamb.
The worst part of the song.
That's right. But it's key. It's key to the Dave experience, the live Dave experience. I don't love that either. This is where all the girls scream. Girls love Little Feet. Those Little Feet references.
And pandering.
I I distinctly remember that I was buying beer when this came on. at the show I went to.
Yeah.
I was like stuck in like the concourse getting beer, and I was like, well, that's a shame.
This song was written from the point of view from a boyfriend who wants his girlfriend back. In the song, he says, "I watch you there through the window," which basically says that he's watching and looking at how beautiful she is.
One interpretation.
Yeah. This song is about a voyeuristic man.
It's like that Blink song from the end of Dude Ranch.
Which one?
It's like, "And when the day ends, I'm sure she feels sorrow." Yeah. The lonely guy I am, I wait for her to change. Not really, really just two sides of a coin, this and Crash Into Me.
On the VH1 Storytellers, Matthews mentioned this song is written from a Peeping Tom's perspective.
Kind of a creep.
Stevie Nicks performed this song on a 2008
episode. That's just a rumor.
What's that?
I said that's just a rumor.
Her version was later released as a single. The line "tied up and twisted the way I'd like to be" could be referred to her bathrobe. Or could be referring to her bathrobe. "The way it's tied and twisted in the front, like how a man's arms would be crossed around her abdomen if you were holding her from behind."
There's a lot of work going into this interpretation.
Yeah.
I just like to say Lady Bird. Remember that part?
Yeah, that was nice.
That was nice.
Telling you that guy was not a good guy because he's like, "I hate this fucking song."
I forgot about that part.
Oh, Dave Matthews is a big part of Lady Bird.
Remember, I dated a girl who was really cool for a while, like, and I was shocked that this song came on, and she was like, "Well, you do have to admit it's a beautiful song.
Makes you sentimental."
And I was like, that shocked me. I was like, I felt stupid for like being cool ever. Oh, Dave Matthews Band, we all know. But I was like, I love this song. Here's the thing. So that's the end of this playlist. I think you made a great playlist, Patty.
Oh,
let's give a hand. If you're driving right now, take your hands
off
the wheel.
Patty, any final words before we sum up?
Yeah, any final words?
Sing for your supper, Patty.
This show is much like the life of a bee, where you get to sting us once with your musical playlist, and then we murder you.
That's
of
right.
course.
My final words.
Or the sexual life of a praying mantis.
Yes.
From the male perspective.
Yes.
And good. People say that women have it so hard.
Oh my god.
Just a backdoor into weird men's rights stuff.
It's like, oh, yeah, sure. You're like relating to fucking.
I would say that over time, I think music has this ability, because it's sort of shorter and more disposable in terms of like the way you kind of digest it in chunks.
Yeah.
Like I don't have guilty pleasures with music. Like I've gotten over that. I got over that probably 10 years ago where it's like, you know what? I'm not embarrassed about liking this because it's 3.5 minutes long. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like it's fun. I'm like, all music is just making noise in a like sequence that pleases the ape ear. You know what I mean? It's not like there's some profound, you know what I mean? Like, so I like stuff that's considered like cool probably, but I also like stuff that's not cool.
And, yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I've accepted that. And that's part of the whole like thing with Dave, you know, like I wouldn't play it at like I wouldn't put it on. Well, I probably would as a bit, but I wouldn't like, if I was trying to impress somebody.
I love that you're
on.
Saying this right now because this is exactly how I feel, where it's like, I think that I like a lot of stuff that is very good. Like I think a lot of stuff that is great music, and I think stuff that people would think is like, this is a cool thing. I don't feel I still like some Maroon 5 stuff. And
yeah, songs about Jane is not is look
care.
Yeah.
And I used to be like, songs about Jane is perfect. Now I go back and I'm like, it's not perfect, but I like a lot of it still.
Yeah,
and I'm not ashamed of that. Like, but I think if you say it how you just said it, where you're like, this is like, at the end of the day, we are all fucking monkeys or whatever, and like, we're all going to go goo goo gaga over whatever bullshit or whatever.
Especially for the goo goo dolls.
That's what that's all about. But like, yeah, I loved that song Shallow from Stars Born. I really liked that. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's made for mainstream.
You're a songwriter.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And a lot of Dave Matthews, I like It's funny because I kind of hit a wall today of being a little depressed listening to this, where I was like listening to like Crash especially, and I was like, oh shit, this was made for the masses. Like, this is made for, like, of course we all like this. It's like a pretty song about whatever, and it's like the perfect middle ground, the Venn diagram of what we all love, where it's like it's sexual but also sweet and like and also pleasing to the ear. It's like everything, and like not so harshly dirty, but like just enough where when you're 16 or whatever, it's the perfect song to hear.
Right.
And it really bummed me out. And then I was like, hearing you say that, I was like, yeah, what are we doing? Of course, it's okay to like that.
Yeah. Like, have you guys ever seen that like thing with Pocket Bell's Cannon? I forget the guy's name. There's like a comic with like an acoustic guitar. I don't know if he's really a comic, but it's like I forget where it is, but it was like a big thing. It was on like I remember I saw it on like College Humor. That's how long ago it was, before like pre-YouTube, but I'm sure it's on. It's like Rob something, but it's like...
Shots fired to Eli Yudin, who currently works for College Humor.
But I mean, there was no YouTube to watch it on.
Yeah, no, no.
He played like a million songs and just used the chord progression from Pocket Bell's Cannon.
Oh, that's cool.
And
it's
just kind of like, oh no, everything I like is these four chords. Like, I feel like a complete idiot, but it's like, no, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like... The over time, it's been proven that these four things in this order are pleasing to people, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it's like I was writing a quick bit about Monster Mash, and I realized, oh, that's the same chords as Last Kiss and like all these other songs, and it's like all these songs are the same fucking chords. Yeah.
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 There's only so many, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you know.
So we have to rate this playlist now. This is very difficult because... I realize like it's hard for me because I really enjoy Dave Matthews, and the fucked up thing is you didn't even pick my favorite songs from Dave Matthews. It was a pleasant time. I listened to it today. I had a good time. It's not something I put on a lot. There are songs that I get in the mood for, like I said, 41, and like I really like the song Dodo. I think it's great.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of songs I love. That song Shotgun is very emotional. But even with these songs that I was like, yeah, they're songs that are big from him. They're not even all the hits. He has so many goddamn hits. If you put Grey Street on here, I would have had a great time.
I've heard that 10 years.
I love that song.
That's a good one.
I'm still going to give this a fucking 5.75 out of 6. I really had a good time listening to it. I realize, you know, maybe this is... I don't want to pride myself on this, but I think of myself as not someone who's like mostly into like basic, you know, bitch shit. I have a good time listening to this, and maybe it's right up my fucking Bud Light loving ass alley. But maybe it's that I've come back around. You know what? If I had listened to this playlist a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I probably would have given it a lower score. But I think my tastes have gotten simpler.
Damn.
Not in a bad way, where it's like I still listen to new music all the time and better music probably. But I can enjoy, you know, having a good time with this playlist.
Life's hard, man. Sometimes
you like what you like. I've had a stressful week, and I'm giving this a 5.75.
That's how you should preface all of your reviews?
Yes. I've had a stressful week. I could use this right now. Today I played... Me and Tim played Pig on our little, this hoop right here. We have this like little miniature hoop right here. We played Pig on it and listened to this, and I had a good time.
Oh,
I'm giving it a 5.75.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 6, which I feel like that just reflects how I've always felt about Dave. I've never disliked the music. I get the stuff about the fans sometimes, and I think that's what most of it is. But yeah, I think they're good musicians, and you didn't pick any of the songs I really hate. Yeah.
Yes, if you could have picked songs we hated, and I would have given it a much lower score.
I just love all like the weird, like super studio, like bombastic stuff, and that's it. It's like, I love too much. I love so much to say. I love, that's that.
Also, clearly, it's not about the Chicago River thing. It's not like Dave was
I forgot about the Chicago River. Dump the shit in the river.
It is funny to picture him giving like the direct order. Did you order that Code Brown?
So funny. He's like, wait, what city are we over right now?
All right. I came up with something I want to do for the plug, so you guys start plugging.
All right. We will be, by the way. we're doing plugs right now.
Uh-huh.
I should let you plug first because you're our guest. We've had a great time with you on the show.
Yeah, man.
Thanks so much for doing it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's what I wanted to say. By the way, thank you for doing it. Right. And by the way, what is your rating for this playlist?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't give it a. I mean, I did like a survey. I probably didn't pick my favorites. I mean, I don't know. Crush is one of my favorites, and I've really come around on Crash a lot. Crash Into Me since like I kind of was like dismissed it as like out of hand. It's like you listen to it, it's like, oh no, this is like,
yeah.
There's a reason this was like a huge hit, and I had an anti reaction.
I feel
to it.
Bad that I gave it such a high score, but I want to preface with like I was coming into it. I've been stressed out. And this was very soothing to me this week. This is the way I'm going to be rating the playlist from now on.
Yeah.
There's going to be an element of where I'm coming from. So I went 5.75. What do you say, my good man?
I'm going to give it a 5. I'm going to go pretty much in between you guys.
It's so funny that I gave it the highest score.
No, I listened to it on the way out here on the train. I mean, obviously I don't have to listen to it to know what it is, you know, but,
yeah,
it's, it takes me back to a time that was fun, and I'm not going back to Connecticut for Thanksgiving, I'm going to visit my parents who are in Florida now. So this is sort of my like little mental trip out to the woods, 'cause I won't be going back there for a while. So, yeah, I don't know. That's
fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So me and Tommy will be at the New York Comedy Festival this very Tuesday, November 6th, we're doing a live Stand By Your Band. We plugged it earlier. We really want you to come out. I haven't said this to Tommy yet, but we're going to tape it. I'm going to pay somebody to fucking tape this thing because it's going to be a good time, and we would love for you to be out there. We have huge comics on it. Definitely some of our favorite comics in New York City. It's going to be fucking crazy. I will also be at New York Comedy Club doing a 30-minute set of stand-up, which is a different thing. It's a completely different show. November 5th, it's part of New York Comedy Festival with Katie Hannigan. That is at 9:15, New York Comedy Club. Please come out. I'd love to have you out there, you know? Besides that, I'm going to be doing my first set at the Comedy Cellar.
Woo!
I just got passed to the Comedy Cellar. That's part of what I've been stressed about. I'll be doing that this very Sunday on the 8:30 show at the Village Underground. So, hey, come out to that. But we'd love to see you at these New York Comedy Festival shows because it means a ton to us.
I'll also be opening for Megan Gailey at the New York Comedy Festival November 8th. She's doing an hour. So go see that.
Megan, is that UCB?
That is a UCB East. And Hell's also, Kitchen. Coming Get up, I'll plug this again, but I'll be at Bloomington's own Comedy Attic with Megan Gailey as she records her album soon.
That's right. Home of Jared. So, hey, if you got a bone to pick with Jared,
come to those shows.
Go see Megan Gailey. Do it. Yeah, knock on the green room door during Tommy's set. Excuse me, sir. Jared will be in there. Patty, you want to play anything?
I will not be at the New York Comedy Festival. no, I might go to one of these shows. I'm not performing at anything, but I don't know. I have a podcast called What a Time to Be Alive.
Start with my episode, people
Tommy
say.
Tommy has been on it.
Everyone says that. If you want to check out the podcast?
It's fun. We're doing some monthly kind of stand-up showcases now at Stand Up New York. The next one's going to be November 27th. We haven't officially said that yet, so breaking news.
Also former guest Eli Uden.
That's true. And Kat Barbadoro are the three of us that host the podcast. It's a lot of fun. We're on iTunes and all that stuff. We have a Patreon, all that jazz. I'm Patty Moe and all the stuff.
One of the best Twitter follows of all time.
What a great Twitter follow.
Boy. And come to, if you're in the city on a Friday and you're looking for something to do, you want to go to a bar show, come to Karma Lounge.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
3rd Street, First Avenue. 8:30.
It's a hookah bar. You can smoke in there.
It's true.
I've been meaning to. I got to come back and should I want to get a cigar and smoke
yeah,
in
man.
There.
Do it. We'll be there. Whatever.
Guys, so. Come to that New York Comedy Festival show. Live Stand By Your Band, Battle of Bands. You heard the lineup. We'll say it. We're tweeting about it, you know. Tommy Vainglory.
Come to our show November 6th. We'll do some bits and we'll do some riffs. You can see Rosebud and Corinne Fish. I would have rhymed more if I had out there. Sweet like Kenny, sour like Clark, Gondelman and Zimmerman hit the mark and stand by your band.
Sour like
Comedy
Clark.
Fest at Union Hall.
Yes! 10 p.m.
Incredible.
10 p.m.
and a boy's dreams.
I'm the king of the Brooklyn. You're the dirty. Wait, who else is on the show? I'm the dirty. You're fast. Don't cash into me. Guys, seriously, hit us up to come to that show. We would love to see you there. It's going to be fun. You can vote for the winners of the bracket. It's a battle of bands. It's like a roast thing, you know. We love you. Patreon.com/standbyyourband. You know what? Keep it crispy. Bye.
Bye.